afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Indie Business Radio for Monday, November 19th, 2007. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by Monave Mineral Makeup, now offering high-end platinum packaging for approved wholesalers. You can get elegant silver jars to complement their artisanal makeup for your spa, store, or home business. Plus, you can also get their products at retail, and it's the time of year to glam up for the holidays. Handmade and truly modern, natural, and versatile, Monave Mineral Makeup. Visit Monave, M-O-N-A-V-E.com for more information. All right, you all know about it. It's fear. No, it's dread. It's dread and trepidation that grips you when you think about the prospect of cold calling. As indies, of course, business success necessarily depends on some amount of that. And cold calling works. So why is it that we don't do more of it? Today's guest has the answer and several solutions to help take the fear out of cold calling and help us use the tactic to our advantage. She's Kim Duke, the sales diva, and the author of Tickled Pink, The Secrets to Attracting Delightful Customers. Kim spent 15 years working with two of Canada's largest national television networks as an award-winning sales executive, and we've got her all to ourselves for an hour. Do join us, 800-773-0355, for your questions or comments for the Sales Diva. Welcome to the show, Kim.
Well, hi, Donna Maria. I'm so looking forward to speaking to everyone today.
Well, we're, of course, delighted to have you. Now, Kim, what is it? You know, we're all in business, so if we don't sell, we're not in business anymore. What is it about selling and cold calling in particular that scares us so much?
Well, I think, you know, it's a big word that starts with the letter R, which is rejection. And so many women, especially that are getting into business or anybody getting into business, they just fear that big rejection word. And, of course, we all think that we want to be liked. We want people to love our business or product. And so that is something that becomes a major stumbling block for most people that I work with.
So it's rejection. Is that pretty much it? We're just afraid that someone's going to tell us no?
Rejection is pretty much they're afraid of being told no or that they don't like your product, because most of us get too attached to what we sell. We think that we are what we sell when actually we're not. And what we really are in selling is problem solvers and idea generators. So I'd like all the callers to write this down right now. Even if you hate the word selling, what you are probably already superb at is being a relationship builder and helping people come up with ideas to solve their problems. That's basically selling in a nutshell.
So to some extent, we can help ourselves by just not calling it selling anymore.
You know, I think that's just something that I teach many of my people at the different seminars that I teach right across North America, is that even if you don't like the word selling, so many people have an idea that you have to be like Donald Trump with a bad hairdo, or you have to be like Herb Tarlick from that show years ago for the radio, I think it was called WKRP, that we have to be manipulative, that we have to be pushy, and all of those things, when actually it's not that at all. Selling is helping others get what they want.
Helping other people get what they want.
You
and
bet.
So it's really just positioning your product or service as the thing that they want and helping them get it.
Absolutely. And I think the biggest question that I would get anyone who is in business or is selling today to ask yourself this question: what are the top three problems that I solve for my customer?
Ooh, that's really good. So if you can answer that question, then you basically have your sales pitch, so to speak.
Absolutely. And what it also does is it filters out a lot of that spinning your wheel just like a rat in a cage. So often people in business, small business especially, they're so focused on volume, which is what we were all taught years ago. I come from the world of Canada's national media. When I was first started, it was sort of like the old boys club. We were taught just to get on the phones and just ring, 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 and dial, dial, dial for dollars. But it's actually a very ineffective way of selling, and in the 21st century, it's become even tougher. So I believe cold calling is something that people can do, but they can do it in a much smarter way, and that's what I'm all about. I'm going to share some tips today that you can get around that altogether.
So at the top of the show when I talked about cold calling and how it works, what you're saying is that cold calling works, but only if it's done in a particular way.
Absolutely, and I think actually most people hate the word and the phrase cold calling. Like, there's just nothing very warm about it, is there? It sounds like you're just talking strangers to strangers. And so I believe we should even move away from the phrase itself. It's something that most people are familiar with, but it also terrifies the heck out of them. And really focus on how can you attract business to you. You can still use the phone. You can still use other methods of marketing and selling that will make you where you're attracting customers versus chasing them. Because what happens when you chase something?
It runs away from you.
It runs away.
Right.
So we've all been taught that it's really, let's, you know, get on the phone, dial for dollars, but typically people are contacting the wrong type of customer. They don't understand what their needs are. And when they end up reaching a voicemail or no one's returning their phone call, they get stuck. They don't know, okay, what else can I do to talk to potential customers who I don't know, or how can I get into their radar? Because really, that's really what it's about, is getting into your potential customer's radar.
And your book, Kim, Tickled Pink, The Secrets of Attracting Delightful Customers, is really great. And one of the things that I thought was so cool about it, it sort of dovetails with what you're just saying. You have a little section at the beginning where you talk about the first step being, whatever you do, don't do it to the wrong people. I think you call them wood customers. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, a wood customer, if you think about attraction, if you had a magnet, if we're all of us right now, we're holding a magnet in our hands. Now, no matter how much you would wave that magnet over a piece of wood, it's not going to be attracted to the magnet, right? It's just not going to happen. But instead, if you had a pile of nails or if you had something that had metal in it, it would very quickly be attracted to it. So often, I believe people chase what are called wood customers, and those are people who are the wrong customer for you. So what happens is that you're going to get a ton of rejection. You're going to not have people be responsive to you or your product. And there are also going to be people who are going to start grinding you on price, which I know many people on the call have had that happen to them before. And so those are all red flags that you are pointed in the wrong direction.
And so what are some of your tips for making the shift from selling as a sort of negative cold calling thing to something that will help us grow our businesses in leaps and bounds?
Oh, goodness. You know, there's so many things that people can do. And again, the first thing that starts off with, you have to know who your target audience is, and also, do they have a need or want for your product? Remember that 98% of the time, people have no need or want of your product as of today. So if you're just relying on doing the odd direct mail send out or getting on the phone occasionally or doing a little bit of networking, etc., you've really put yourself into a vulnerable place, because you need to realize that on average, you know, customers aren't buying from us right away unless it's something that's really inexpensive. But if you're selling a product that is really a bit more money or you're requiring higher volume, most people are not going to buy you immediately. On average, it takes between 5 to 9 contacts. So I want everybody to write that down, between 5 to 9 contacts before someone will feel that you're trustworthy enough or your product is trustworthy enough to actually hire you. So I believe in circling the wagons and really using a drip marketing sales formula, so to keep in basically, again, back in their radar. One, something that works really great, and this is so easy and so inexpensive, is what I call seeding. It's actually a strategy that I'm writing a book on right now that'll be out next year. And seeding is using your postal service.
Okay, seeding, spell that.
Seeding just like seeds, S-E-E-D-I-N-G. I'm a farmer's daughter, and my dad taught me years ago that unless you're planting something, you're not growing anything.
Okay, so planting seeds and using the direct mail to do that?
Actually, yeah, using the U.S. Postal Service or whichever postal service you are from whatever country.
Mm-hmm.
But what it is, it's not direct mail sending out information about your company. That's a totally different thing. Seeding is where you are sending out information that is relevant to your top 10 to 20% of your customers. And also, there's a strategy, which I'll tell you about here in a second, that you can use to contact and get a hold of someone that you've never even met. For example, seeding is when, and women are fabulous at this, by the way, where we love to share information with our friends. So if somebody says, oh my God, can you send me that recipe, or here's a cool website, or whatever. We love to share automatically with people, which, by the way, that's what selling really is.
Mm-hmm.
And something that you can do is if you find an article or something that is relevant to your client,
mm-hmm.
it's as simple as ripping it out of a magazine or printing it off a website. Printing it is important because we want it to go into the, we want it to go through the Postal Service.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be all about them. So if you know that your customers are really into pets, for example, or if one of your top customers is planning a trip to Paris, then you would actually send them a piece of information that would be relevant to maybe a hotel in Paris or something that's in their world, or giving them a map or some new breed of dog that's been discovered, something that is about them.
And why does it have to go through the Postal Service?
Well, you know, thanks for asking that question, because I don't know about you, I get between 200 to 300 email a day. And so an email is no longer unique or special.
Mm-hmm.
And so by something coming through the mail, I don't know, when you go home tonight and you check the mail and you see a stack of bills and you get your mortgage and your bank and your phone and everything else, and then all of a sudden...
Oh, it's bad. No, I'm just kidding.
And then you see handwriting.
Right, right.
In a card that has actual, like, oh, it's almost like something coming down from the heavens. There's handwriting.
Yeah.
What's the first thing that you open?
Yeah, I'm going to open that.
You're going for the handwriting. You're going for the thing that is personal. And, again, this is whether you're sending something to consumer, to their home, or actually to their business. It doesn't matter. All of us, handwriting and getting something that it looks like a thank you card or something that's different will automatically stand out.
You know, and that's a really good point, because I was featured in a magazine once, and I remember one of my clients sent her copy of that magazine to me.
Yes.
A little note that said, you know, great feature, congratulations. And, I mean, it gave her something to do with a magazine that she probably would have ultimately thrown away or put in a box somewhere. But it also made me feel like, wow, she's really thinking about me. And I've never forgotten that. It was a couple of years ago. And so is that the kind of thing that you mean?
Donna Marie, we are sharing the same DNA. Absolutely.
No, I mean, I'm going to start doing it now.
It is something that is so powerful, and you know, you painted a very clear picture there, because here it is a couple of years later, and you still remember her.
Yeah.
And that's why seeding is such a powerful strategy, and also because I really believe selling is about being a relationship builder, and those who have the strongest relationships with their customers are those who will become wealthy.
Now, if you don't have enough money to seed everyone that you want to reach, can you kind of compartmentalize it where you sort of
mm-hmm.
spend the most money on the customers that are or the prospects that seem to be the most interested or the most promising or whatever, and then
absolutely.
You can email newsletters to seed more generally? Is that possible?
Absolutely. That's what I would recommend, actually. You would want to be focusing on your top 10 to 20%.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if you would even drill that down further, if you're just as someone who's starting out, but remember, there's not much. To be in business, you do have to spend a little bit of money. It's about where you're going to be spending it in a smart way rather than just blowing it. So a stamp does not cost much, and neither does, you know, spending a little bit of time putting relevant information that your customers are going to love into an envelope. And you're right, the e-zine, and for those of you who are out there, you have to have an online newsletter and be sending it to your database, because that's a fabulous way of staying within your customer or potential customer's world. If you go, and again, I'm an ex-advertising chick, if you go for longer than a month of being in front of your customer, they start to forget about you.
Mm, right.
So it's about creating what I call, and in advertising is known as top-of-mind awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And something that is also, and this is something that I've used millions of times over the years of being in selling, is let's say you're reading through your local newspaper and you go and you see someone has won an award. Someone in the area has won an award, and again, they have to be your target audience. That's why you have to know who can you help the most, who has the biggest problems that you can solve. Maybe they've bought a new building. There's something that's newsworthy. You're going to cut that article out. You're going to do almost like what your friend did or your client did. You're going to send it to that person. You're going to put a sticky note, but you're going to staple it onto the article, not stick it. And why do you think I would recommend that?
Tell me.
The glue dries on those little sticky notes, and it falls off. Because we want to have a note on there that says, "Hi, Bob, I saw this article, absolutely was impressed," and you would sign your name to it. Put it into a congratulations card envelope, and just say to them, "Look, I know you can never have enough copies of this for your mother."
Right, right.
And even just by putting in, using a little bit of humor and also just tucking in your business card, mm-hmm. I guarantee you most people are not acknowledging people today like they should be. So when you get something that all of a sudden comes to the mail to you, it's more than likely they're going to either email you or they're going to be checking out your website.
You know, this is so powerful, and I don't want to spend the whole entire show on this point, but I do want to make sure that we emphasize it as you are, because it is so simple.
It is simple.
Everybody reads a magazine. Everybody reads a newspaper. Even a local paper that you pick up in your doctor's office could have an article that could interest someone that you know.
You got it. And you know what? That's what's happened with selling, is that we were all taught the old way of doing it, which was just to keep throwing mud at a wall. But it's really exhausting, and it makes your hands dirty. So I would rather really use my energy and my time and my money on attracting customers who I can be the best fit for, and who it will feel natural. It makes sense. So the common sense part is kind of left selling. Mm-hmm. Which is what I'm all about, bringing it back in. Another really cool thing you can do with seeding, you know, all of us travel. We all bebop all over the place to different countries or cities, or, you know, even to another state or province. And what I do, wherever I go, and I just got back from New York, I fill another portion of my suitcase with anything that's from New York, that's a magazine, either a Wear magazine or Gotham or the New York Times, whatever. I don't look at it then, but I haul it back home with me to Canada. And then when I have some time, I'll just quickly go through those things and see if there's anything there that I could send to one of my existing clients as well as to a potential new customer. And then just say, I was recently in New York, and I saw this and thought of your business, and I've got a couple of ideas that I'd like to run past you.
You know, that strategy, what we're talking about, makes me think of another question I have, and I know you get this a lot, too, from women in particular who feel very conflicted about the sales process.
Mm-hmm.
And you're describing something that makes it possible to continue to, quote-unquote, sell without being conflicted about it.
Absolutely, because what you're doing is you're helping someone. And women, I think, we are natural at this. We love helping other people. We are fabulous at multitasking, and we are naturally people who share information. So it just makes sense, and it always, selling, you know, so many people think of the slimy car salesperson or the life insurance person or whatever, and of course people don't have to be like that, but they have this negative impression in their mind of being, that they have to be pushy or manipulative or really hard selling. I'm not about that at all. If you just get it out of your head that the first time someone meets you or talks to you, that the odds of them buying from you that day are slim to none, it takes a lot of the pressure off. And
right.
What you can do is start being smarter in how you deal with people, and you get into their world. And I also call this, you're going to laugh at this, Donna Maria, I call it hors d'oeuvring.
Okay, that's good. Let's remember that. What is that?
Okay, so have you ever gone to Costco and eaten your way through it?
Oh, yeah.
And you see all these people with their hairnets and you're handing out, they got their microwaves all fired up, and they're giving away the little things in the plastic cup. I call that hors d'oeuvre, like doing an hors d'oeuvre. And Costco is brilliant at this because they know that the average person eats the same 7 to 10 meals day in, day out for the rest of their life. And unless you have a chance to try that new burrito,
right,
you're not going to try it.
Not going to buy it, right.
And so it's the same thing, actually, when we do seeding. You're allowing someone to have a little risk-free bite of you.
Uh-huh.
To get a taste of what you're like to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
They go, you know, right away you're showing them that you're a relationship builder.
Mm-hmm.
You're showing them that there's someone that you're someone that follows up.
Mm-hmm.
And that is paying attention to the actual business and their concerns and their needs versus just your own. So often I have people that want to cheat, and they want to stick a bunch of other marketing materials in with an envelope with the seeding material. And I say, don't do it, because as soon as you do that, your credibility drops.
Okay, we're going to talk a little bit more about that after our break. We're coming up on the first one. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're talking with the sales diva, Kim Duke, the author of Tickled Pink, The Secrets to Attracting Delightful Customers. Kim, before we took our break, we were talking about hors d'oeuvring people, about how to do it and why to do it. Tell us a little bit more about that, and also can you share how people who sell products as opposed to services can use that tactic?
You bet. And again, hors d'oeuvring is all about offering a risk-free way for someone to buy from you. And again, we all do this all of the time, whether it's a new perfume sample or something that we've checked out. It's about taking the risk out of buying from you. Because remember, everyone, you're risky. That's why people aren't buying from you. And our biggest competition in life, and we all get worried about competition, is complacency from our customer, that they'll keep doing what they've always done. And so when you allow them a chance to hors d'oeuvre you, you're moving them a little bit past that just being curious, and you want them to become a tire kicker, which is all good. Now, for those of you who have an actual product to sell, an actual physical product, man, you are so lucky. So often I'm dealing with people who sell services, and it's a little bit tougher for them to provide a sample. So, for example, one of the great things that you can do with any type of physical product, of course, if you're at any type of networking association, is, yes, you can have a booth at the back and be offering samples. That makes sense. But what you also want to be doing is offer a prize. And so when you're at a networking association, which typically is made up of a nonprofit organization, mm-hmm. offer a prize of your product.
Okay.
So whether it's a book or it's makeup or whatever it ends up being, take something that has, don't be cheap about it, give them something that has, you know, $20 value,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll usually profile your product up at the front of, you know, potentially 50, 60, or 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
They'll mention the name of your business, and again, usually you'll have a chance to stand up there and promote it, and it starts to create a little bit more fever, about almost like, you know, sharks. Sharks love, you know, the feeding frenzy when their eyes roll back in their head. That's what people are like at any type of networking association and winning something free.
Right.
So
right.
For a very inexpensive way, you get promotion, plus you're allowing people to try it. And then they all go back to that table where there's 10 people that are sitting there, and they're all oogling and looking at what you just had. So that's a very affordable way of doing it. Of course, you could also use, depending on the product, if you have a very heavy product or something, I would not recommend the whole shipping component to them.
Right.
But very often, we can also hors d'oeuvre people if they're really serious with our website. You can either get them to answer a contest or a question in your e-zine, for example. For maybe for the first X number of people that respond to a survey, you would actually send them something. An hors d'oeuvre, a physical hors d'oeuvre that I send out, is a CD.
Uh-huh.
So especially if you're someone who has a product that, again, it's tougher to haul around, or it's big or awkward, or just too heavy to ship, mm-hmm. create an audio CD, just a 30-minute audio CD that talks about, again, not about you and your product, but that talks about one of the biggest problems that your customer would be having.
Mm-hmm.
And we all think, oh, an audio CD, that's really difficult to make. It is not. You can use any of the free conference services that are out there, which will send you the MP3 file, which you can easily get burned onto a disc and that you can mail out to your clients. It's very, very simple.
Right. It is so easy to do. Just go to any search engine and just type in audio CDs, make audio CDs, and you'll be able to find a million people waiting to hors d'oeuvre you.
You got it.
Their audio CDs. So if you have a question for Kim, you can join us, 800-773-0355. So, Kim, what is your opinion about the most crucial steps to developing the skills to being able to do this effectively?
In terms of acceding or in terms of selling in general?
In terms of selling in general, because I think the acceding is, it really is something that women do naturally and organically, and looking at it from your perspective is going to help us put that to work for us in business.
Absolutely.
So selling in general, outside of seating, what are some of the action steps that are necessary to really honing these skills?
Well, one of the biggest things is that you can't be sitting down by your computer and your phone and think that you can just sit there and wait for the phone to ring. Selling does require for you to be out in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who are going, damn it, I don't want to do that, well, I've got some hard news for you. Then you shouldn't be in business. Because unless you're developing a product that's sold entirely over the Internet where you never have to deal with anyone face-to-face, you've got to get out there. And there are a variety of ways. So even if you're someone who's shy or who doesn't like it, there's still smaller ways that you can get out there. Here's a great way. Referrals.
Okay.
So there's so many things that you can do. Just on a small basis, just ask one of your customers if they would take you to an association meeting that they go to.
Okay.
There's one thing I guarantee you, everybody belongs to something.
And this could be something as simple as your local chamber of commerce.
You got it, or an eWomen Network meeting, or it could be anything, a Rotary meeting, doesn't matter. Just say, you know, I'm interested in coming to one of your sessions. They're going to be flattered. Of course they'll take you. It might cost you like $30, $5 to go for the lunch or something. It'll be very affordable. And now you're at an event. You've got your buddy, your customer who loves you and is using your services. They're going to be introducing you, and also they're going to be talking about you and your product wherever you're sitting at the table with other people. So automatically, you have dramatically warmed up the whole call for yourself or doing any follow-up with those people just because of the fact that you have someone who is saying, hey, look, we've already tried them. And remember, most people don't like to be the leaders. They like to be the followers. So they're going to be absolutely listening to the person who's already bought you, and it plants a seed of curiosity. The big thing as well that most people in selling forget about this type of stuff is any type of networking that you're doing, any of these things, you've got to do follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
Most salespeople are people who are getting into selling. They get so excited about their own product. They get so excited about what they're doing that they forget the key to success in selling is follow-up. And again, as basic as a phone call the next day, thanking them for the meeting, sending them a thank you card in the mail. I don't even care if it's someone who's just given you a lead, someone who's even said no to you. Still make sure that you are following up and making that part of an actual strategy. So you can start very small. Again, I'm a huge fan of associations. The reason why? The target audience has already been filtered for you.
Right. They're already interested in particular things.
You got it. And most often, even if you can check it out, if it suits you best, you can also usually join as a member supplier. So let's say, for example, there was the Home Builders Association or something. You don't have to be a home builder to be part of that association.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually join as a supplier.
Right.
And it gets you into the world of now you're into their world with their database. And again, who do people like to buy from? They like to buy from those that they know and who are also supporting the same types of initiatives that they are.
Well, you know, that's a really good point because as the founder and president of the Indie Beauty Network, we also have a supplier membership where people who supply products and services to people who manufacture beauty products
mm-hmm.
like to join so they can get that kind of connection, just what you're talking about.
Absolutely. And it shows commitment. It shows that you're not some flake that's just in there for the one-hit wonder trying to get the sale. You're showing that you're a serious business owner and that you're serious about helping the association and helping others grow. There's some other fabulous spin effects from that, too, as well, I might add. Because, again, most people go, oh, well, should I join the membership? It's a lot of money. Look, I spend less than $1,000 a year on advertising because of where I put my dollars instead is into associations and into doing some of these other initiatives that I was talking about. And one of the things that you can do with an association, remember, is that they're always looking, A, for either a presenter,
right?
Because it's nonprofit, or they're always looking for articles for their own newsletter.
Exactly.
So if you have something, and again, it can't be a sales pitch. It has to be giving them three or four tips that they can take back to their life or to their business that they can use right away.
Mm-hmm.
It provides you with credibility, and it costs you nothing.
Right. Right. It's a win-win situation.
It's all win. But does it require a little bit of time and creativity? Yeah, absolutely it does.
Well, you know, it's interesting you talk about creativity. Some people think that you have to have a ton of money to market a business successfully and initiate some of these sales tools that you're talking about. But in point of fact, the less money you have, the more creative you're probably going to be, and you'll probably get more bang for every buck if you are being creative.
Absolutely. And, again, I come from the world of media. And so I'm always, and just realize that the media doesn't cost anything to get into if you are interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
And an ad, and even though I sold advertising for years, by you being interviewed by the media also is like has 10 times more clout than if you'd actually bought an ad.
Right.
So remember, everybody listening to this, is that you can actually send your own one-page news release to the media, tie into something that is already happening out there. For example, a couple of years ago here in Canada, there was a lawyer at a high level who ended up coming into court sort of wearing the Ally McBeal miniskirt.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge booted her out of his courtroom. Well, of course, it caused a big furor all across the country. There was stuff flying left, right, and center. And one of my friends is an image consultant, so she deals with beauty and all those types of things. And she just sent a fax, a little news release, one-page news release, to one of the major national newspapers and said, hey, I'm an image consultant. I can provide you with five big tips that your people can relate to in regarding this case. I can comment on it as an expert. The next day, she had a full page in one of Canada's largest newspapers, and all it cost her was about 10 minutes of typing on a computer and faxing it.
Yeah, it really does go back to that creativity. Now, Kim, a lot of your tips seem to be the kinds of tips and skills that could be effective for any kind of business owner, but you focus mainly on women. Why is that?
Well, it's because I practice what I preach. And in terms of, and again, coming from the world of advertising, women and women business owners are outnumbering men 3-1.
Uh-huh.
And so as a target audience for the 21st century, and also, by the way, women will ask for directions.
Mm-hmm.
So
men won't do that usually.
So what it is women are a fabulous target audience for me, and also my mission is to help women become more successful. It is something that there's no greater joy for me than to help someone turn their business around, their selling around, where now they can buy the house of their dreams or take their kids on an amazing vacation. It's very rewarding. And that's my brand. Remember, it's not, you do not create wealth by trying to be something for everyone.
Right. Don't go out the wood.
You got it. The whole spray and pray method does not work.
Right, right.
Instead, you want to stay focused on a niche audience. And remember, that then it becomes so much easier to filter out what types of trade shows you should be doing, what types of advertising you should be doing. And again, referrals and testimonials become that much easier because it all just makes sense.
Yeah, because there's so many messages out there. You really do have to hone yours and point it directly at the people you want to hear it. Kim, that's great advice. We're going to take our last break. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Back to Indie Business Radio. We're here this afternoon with Kim Duke, the sales diva, And she is sharing with us a host of information to help us wrap our hands around what some people really consider to be the most challenging part of being in business, and that is implementing a sales strategy. So, Kim, what are your best tips for someone who is brand new? They're just going into business. They haven't wasted a lot of resources yet, and you want to help them keep from doing that. What do you tell that person about successful sales strategies?
Okay, well, actually, some of this is also going to tie into your marketing strategies as well. So the big thing, the kiss of death in selling is when you are an information dumper.
Okay.
So when you meet someone and they say, oh, so what do you do? And you just blah, 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 like Charlie Brown's teacher, and just sort of, you know, it's all put all this information over them. That's a huge mistake. Always remember, be more interested in what the other person is doing versus you doing the information dump about you. A question that you should remember forever is to ask this, you know, hey, let's go have coffee and see if we're the best fit for each other.
Uh-huh.
So using that phrase also gives your client an out, and it also gives you an out if
right.
that person isn't the best fit. Remember as well, don't you dare produce any marketing materials off your own computer. I will come down from Canada and hunt you down.
Okay, tell me more.
Oh, my God. One of the worst things you can do is being cheap, creating a business, and then being cheap with the things that are positioning you as an expert in your field.
But, Kim, I'm bootstrapping my business. I want to get to the point where I can afford a printer, but I can't right now. So I can't not have any marketing materials at all.
Well, I would say suck it up, princess, and go without something else so that you can have the proper materials. And especially, initially, all you really need is a business card.
Suck it up, princess.
Suck it up, princess. Because you know what? If you're not willing to get a professionally produced business card, then here's a sales diva advice for you. Go work for Sears.
Okay, don't quit your day job. Now, I like that. Suck it up, princess. I'm going to have that appear somewhere at my blog. But let's talk about that for a second. Okay, if you need to suck it up, princess, and you can only afford a business card, what should be on it?
Okay, first of all, you got to have some kind of a visual or brand so that people understand why you're important,
okay.
why it's relevant to them. If you've got some business name that's not really relevant or clear, then you've got to make sure that there's a tagline that explains what you do. Of course, your name is important on the front.
Mm-hmm.
Your website, if you have one, hopefully you do. Try to stay away from having Yahoo addresses and AOL email addresses. For those of you initially, when you first start your business, you might have that. But here's the problem, is it makes you look small time.
Right, it does, doesn't it?
And also, they're unpredictable email. You don't necessarily get everything that somebody sends to you to those addresses.
Mm-hmm.
So as a strategy, I would tell people, A, you need to have absolutely have a high-quality business card. You want to have some, definitely have some color. Make sure that it has some weight to it. So when people get that, they go, ooh. Remember, your business card and your marketing materials should look like what you charge.
Okay, so it should have some, it shouldn't be flimsy.
No, and none of this perforated edge business, or where I can tell that it's off of a computer. Because remember, I may meet you and think, oh, wow, you're wonderful, but then if I pass that card on to anybody else, they're going to go, oh, this looks pretty chintzy. This looks small time.
Right.
Also, make sure that if you're involved with two or three businesses, do not put them all on the same card.
Okay.
Because remember, you only will hand out the cards that are relevant to the audience that it fits. So make sure that only one business per card.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then effectively use the back of your card. Don't cram the front with too much crap. Make sure that the back, that you would identify some of the key areas that, especially if you have something that serves multiple purposes or multiple markets.
Right.
But remember, white space and color is very important. And also, something that people just go, ooh, every time someone gets my card, they're like, ooh.
Okay, why is that?
Because I pay almost $1 a card. And I have one color on the back, another color on the front. I have a specialty paper that has a little bit of sparkle to it.
Mm-hmm.
And my logo, Sales Diva, has got a dollar sign right through it. So I want people to kind of go, oh, ooh, because you're less likely to throw out something that has made you feel an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, everybody, selling is about creating emotion with your customers.
Yeah, if you look at any television commercial today, that's pretty clear.
Absolutely. And yet, It's so clear, and hardly anyone does it.
Yeah, and you think sometimes, Kim, that's because people get so wrapped up in what they're selling, they're so emotionally connected to it themselves that they can't be objective enough to figure out the best way to tell other people about it.
Absolutely. I actually call it we-itis disease.
Okay.
Because we go, well, we do this and we do that, and I have this and I have that, and we've been around for 10 years, and I've won this many awards. Like, who the hell cares?
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it's about what's your customer looking for? Ask your customer, what is one of their single biggest challenges that they're facing? Or ask them to, okay, in a dream world, if money or time weren't an object, what would you be doing with this particular area? Get them to become involved emotionally. And remember, the first 20 minutes with the customer, they should be the one doing most of the talking, not you.
Right.
So emotion is what will connect you with somebody else. When they see that your product is going to satisfy them on a level that really meets those emotional needs, if it's less stress, or they're going to make more money, they're going to be more prosperous, there's so many things that will tie into that. So I'd like everybody to have a look at what you sell and really get past the we-itis disease and go down to the customer. What's really there for the customer? Why would they buy from you? And also remember, if you're missing those emotional hot buttons, that's when people start throwing price at you because they don't see how you are different. And so we're all the same. If we think all the apples are the same, we just focus on how much per price per pound they are.
Right. Right.
And your customers are the same. So if they start pushing you too much on price, remember that that's a huge red flag, or your diva antenna should go up off your head and really show you that you've missed the mark, that they're not connecting with why you are different than everyone else.
Because they're so concerned about what it is that they have to pay for it.
Yeah, what happens is this is all customers are the same. If we think that everything looks the same, like all of these things, you know, it looks the same, acts the same, walks the same. Okay, then, I guess the guy who's going to win is the one who's cheapest.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are different in some capacity, and this is something very important that most businesses overlook, why are you different?
Right.
And let that be the focus of how you position your business versus on your price. Because here's the thing, there's always going to be someone who's cheaper than you.
Exactly, exactly. You'll always lose. If you even think about telephone service and what they compete on, it's mainly price because a phone line is a phone line for the most part.
Yeah, they're in a dangerous industry. They have to base it on volume, and they know that people have no loyalty anymore.
And now they have to base it on how fancy the phone is.
That's right. Yeah, everything is. And so those who will win are the ones who will understand how they can differentiate their product. There's a great book out there I'm a huge fan of Seth Godin. His last name is G-O-D-I-N.
Huh?
And go to SethGodin.com. He has a fabulous blog that I would also recommend anybody to read. You just go in there and click on his head. It's really good. And he has a book, several books, but one of them is called Small is the New Big.
Okay.
It's a fantastic book. It's basically a compilation of his 5 years of blogging.
Mm-hmm.
I'd recommend it to anybody. Doesn't matter if you're a solopreneur, or you have a small business, does not mean that you can create a lot of money for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, you have much more flexibility and adaptability than big companies do.
Yeah, that's a really good point to remember, too. If your business card doesn't work, you can get another one. You don't have to run it through 5 levels of management.
Exactly, or a website. And
right.
All those people out there, here's the other sales diva bossy tip for the day. You have to have a website. So you got your business card. The next plan that you have to have right away is you have to be able to have even a 1 or 2 page website. You've got to have something. And here's why. Because we are in the 21st century. We are not in the 16th century. And part of the expectations of business is that we can find you on the web.
Yeah, I mean, people say, where's your website? And if you say you don't have one or it's under construction, it's like people tune out.
Well, you know, here's the automatic assumption that they make about you, that you're broke.
It's like not having a telephone.
Yeah, and they think, well, if you're broke, that means that you're not successful, and you're not successful because your product isn't any good and you're not selling enough people. So you see how the trickle effect is from an impression by not having a website.
And where does a blog fit in?
I think a blog is fabulous because that's a great way for people to get started. Same with an e-zine, either a blog or an e-zine.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to have a website necessarily initially to get it started. So blogs are a great way to attract traffic to you. And also when people are Googling and they're looking for certain products and things like that, the, you know, search engine optimization that comes from blogs is fantastic for that.
It is, isn't it? I highly recommend it. And I know you have a blog. Tell us a little bit about it.
Mine, you know, is pretty much the same as my, well, different, a little bit different strategy, but very much like my e-zine, where I'm always offering sales tips and strategies. I've been on the road there for a while, so now I've got to get back into my blog. But I have found that it's great for getting comments back from potential customers. I also do, I recommend other types of links that are out there for other people who have blogs. And it's just unbelievable how many people you will end up attracting back to your main, either to your business or to hopefully your website, because that's what it's all about. And you get to be conversational. That's what it's about. Blog is not a place to be stuffy, and it's also not about, you know, a diary to your mom. It's making sure that you're conversational in a way that is still easily read on the internet, but still focuses on how you can help people.
Right. Right.
Give them tips that they can use even if they don't hire you, and people will respect you, you'll gain more credibility, and you start positioning yourself as an expert. Because remember, experts are willing to share what they know, because for every little tidbit they've shared, they know 1,000 pieces more.
And you know, Kim, I think it's so important, too, that even if you sell products, because a lot of my listeners sell products, not services,
mm-hmm.
I think it is so important to utilize your website and your newsletter and your blog or whatever combination of them you have, hopefully all three, but whatever combination you have to position yourself as an expert about what you're selling, even if you're not selling expert services, so to speak.
Exactly.
But if you are selling mineral makeup, for example, like today's sponsor, Monavet Mineral Makeup, I wouldn't want to buy mineral makeup from someone who wasn't an expert about mineral makeup.
Well, and what I want even more so than even that is, remember, you may have a product, but that's just a means to the end.
Right.
At the end of the day, everyone, we all sell services. Because what does that product do? It's just a product that gets us from A to B. What it really does is it makes your skin look younger, it eliminates wrinkles, it makes you feel special, it helps your, you know, if you have a problem skin, it's actually providing a service to you.
Right. It somehow enhances your customer's life.
You bet. And that's always typically a service, because the product is just a means to the end. And so what I would want to know on your blog is, give people tips about fashion. Give them tips about the latest makeup techniques. Give them tips about what they should do with different, what type of face type that you have or what shape of face that you have. Make things that align, and all of a sudden people are going, wow, this is fabulous information. It's not just about mineral makeup.
Right, right, and that keeps people interested, and it also is the first step to getting them to actually purchase the product that you're selling.
You bet, because if you're just talking about mineral makeup over and over and over again, people get
right.
bored with that. There's only so far you can go with talking about dirt.
Right. Right, take a look at Home Shopping Network or any of the shopping shows, and you can see that really clearly.
Absolutely.
One product into an hour-long show. They're not just talking about the product. They're talking about a lifestyle. They're talking about the women and how easy their lives is now that they're using this product, and they use people to call in. So it really is all about servicing.
And I think it's a great way to look at that, again, I come from the media, television media, look at it's called W5. So the who, what, when, where, why, and how.
Mm-hmm.
And by answering those questions, when you tell people, here's why you should be using this, and by giving some examples and diving into those questions, it will really help you to paint a picture for your clients. Because remember, when you're painting a picture, when you're adding the color to it, when you really get to envision something, that's when you're starting to create an emotional response with people.
Right. And that's
whereas information dumping, it bores all of us.
Right. No information dumping. Kim,
no.
You can go to learn more about you and your services.
Well, you know, I would encourage everyone, please come to salesdivas.com, SalesDivas.com, and sign up for I have a free e-zine that I send out 2 times per month with tons of cool sales tips that you're not going to hear anywhere else.
Okay.
And also you'll receive my free report, which is called The 5 Biggest Sales Mistakes Women Make. So you can download that as soon as you sign up. And that's really where I promote any of my camps, because I hold high-speed sales stiletto camps and other seminars across the country. So you'll be able to get where my next location is going to be.
All right. Well, check it out, guys, www.salesdivas.com. And, you know, Got to make that budget work. Suck it up, princess. You not be able to have the fancy dinner out every month anymore. Put that money into your business cards. Great advice, Kim. Thanks for sharing with us today.
It was an absolute pleasure, Donna Maria.
Well, this is the Thanksgiving week. I wish you all a very Thanksgiving. Take some time off. Spend some time with your families. Enjoy a good meal with your friends. And come back and join us on November 26th when licensed insurance broker Daryl Stafford will discuss insurance issues for small business owners, including a look at our products liability insurance program that we have through the Indie Beauty Network. And next month in December, we've got some more great shows coming up. I encourage you to check out the Indie Business blog throughout the month of December when I'll be profiling Indie Beauty Network member products in our blog gift guide. Join us anytime there, indiebusinessblog.com. Thanks for joining us today. I'll see you next week. Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.